Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, look if you would, starting at verse 35. Luke chapter 12, verse 35. It says, "Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may be open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in a second watch or come in a third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. But be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not." Then Peter said unto the Lord, "Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all?" And the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink, and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. That servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, for our visitors. We thank you, Lord, for the folks that came out this morning, Lord, to hear your word taught. Lord, I pray this morning that you will speak to our hearts, Lord, as we study the Word of God. Help us, Lord, to learn more about you, learn more about how to live the Christian life, and, Lord, live lives that please you. Lord, I pray also there's somebody in here today that's not saved. Lord, I pray that today you'll just convict that person, Lord, show them that their need for a Savior. Show them, Lord, that this life is all that we have, Lord, and the only time we have that we can receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. And so, Lord, just pray this morning that you'll work on our hearts, Lord. Speak to us this morning, Lord, because we are here to hear from you. And so, Lord, I just pray you'll bless this message this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in this passage that I just read, you'll notice that the word servant, or a variation of that word, is found seven times. And in these verses, what it's teaching is basically how a faithful servant is to act. How a servant that is pleasing to his master is to act. Now, as believers, we are to be faithful servants to the Lord. And if you want to know just, the basic reason why we are to be faithful, if you just cut to the chase, the reason we are to be faithful is because we have been redeemed with a price. We are not our own. We belong to the master. We are the servants. He is the master. And so certainly because of that, we should be faithful servants. Amen. For some reason today, it seems like a lot of Christians have that thing backwards. They think that the Lord's the servant and we're the master. I mean, we're always asking things of the Lord, and there's nothing wrong with that. We should ask things of the Lord. But, you know, we also need to be thankful. We also need to be obedient. We need to be all those things that a servant is supposed to be. But a lot of Christians today think that the Lord is just there at their beckoning call. And they don't live the way they should live. They don't do what they're supposed to be doing as a servant. But yet they'll call upon the Lord at a moment's notice and expect the Lord to do something for them. That's having that thing all backwards. The Lord is not the servant. We are the servant, and we are to be faithful. Okay? We are to live for God. We are to serve His purposes, not our own. And one of these days, we're going to be judged not as sons, but as servants. We're going to be judged as to how well we served God as believers. And because of that, there are some things that we need to understand this morning about what is required to be a good servant. I think we all want to hear those words one of these days, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Amen. I mean, wouldn't it be great when this life is over and you're standing before the Lord and you're standing there at the judgment seat of Christ? Wouldn't it be great to say like the Apostle Paul said and say, "I have fought the good fight of faith. I have finished my course." And to hear the Lord say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I mean, wouldn't that just be the greatest thing you could ever hear from the one who died on the cross for you? And so there are some things that we need to learn this morning that this scripture tells us about as to how we are to be good servants, what it takes to be a good servant. And the first thing that it takes to be a good servant is seen there in verse 37, and that is good servants are consistent in the way they serve. Consistent in the way they serve. In Luke chapter 12, look at verse 37. It says, "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching." Now, none of us know when the Lord's going to return. Amen? I mean, I hope it's today. I really do. I mean, it would suit me if He came before the service was over with. Yeah. And all of a sudden, we just all go up. Amen? Amen. I mean, that would suit me. Of course, now I pray that everybody here is saved. We wouldn't want to be anybody left behind. Okay? But nobody knows the day of the rapture or the time of the rapture. There have been some who have tried to predict that day. In fact, just this past month, how many of you know that we had another person that decided he was going to predict the end of the world? And it didn't come. And he goes, "Oh, I made a mistake. It's actually supposed to be in October." It didn't come then either. Amen? And so there are all kinds of people trying to predict, the rapture, the second coming of Christ, the end of the world, things like that. But we don't know when that trumpet's going to sound. And because we don't know when that trumpet's going to sound, we need to serve consistently. We want to be found doing the Lord's work when He comes. Amen? The worst thing in the world is to be found not serving Him when on the day that the Lord comes and gets us. So we need to be serving consistently, expecting Him to show up any time. In fact, every day of our lives, we should live it just expecting Him to show up the next minute. I mean, after all, if you think about it, if you knew when He was going to come, would you act different than you do right now? Well, how do you know He's not going to come? I mean, if you expect Him today, let's say it's 9:45 right now, if you expected Him here at 10 o'clock, would you do something different? I mean, there'd be some Christians run home real quick and make sure everything is, get rid of some things. There'd be a lot of Christians today that aren't in church that all of a sudden run to church real quick too. My question is how do you know He's not going to come here at 10 o'clock? We don't. We should live every moment of our lives expecting Him to come. And part of that is serving Him with consistency. We should be serving Him every moment of the day. Now, as humans, we know that we're never going to reach perfection on this side of eternity. Amen? There's a lot of people today, I think, that thinks that they have already reached that. But that we're not going to reach perfection on this side of eternity. But we are expected to be obedient and always serving the Lord. That's what being a faithful servant is. If you had a servant that only served you half the time, there's no way you could say that person's a faithful servant. If you had an employee that only did what you told them to do half the time that you employed them, what would you think about that employee? Amen? I mean, you'd say, well, that obviously he needs to be fired or he needs to be find somewhere else to work. Why? Well, he only does what he's told half the time. But yet, we as Christians, we sometimes think that we're faithful servants when we don't always serve the Lord like we're supposed to. No, we need to be consistent when we're serving the Lord. A faithful servant's commitment to serving his master doesn't waver because it becomes inconvenient or uncomfortable or costly. Many believers today are fair-weather Christians. In other words, they only serve the Lord when it's convenient for them. They only serve the Lord when it doesn't cost them anything. What if a servant today served his master only when he felt like serving his master? What if the person on the job only did what the employer told him to do only when he felt like it? How do you think that would work out? You know, what we go to our jobs, and what do? When we work at our jobs, we know that we're going to get rewarded. Amen? I mean, you're going to get a paycheck, you know, every 2 weeks or whenever you get it. And so what do? We go there, and we work hard. We do what we're told to do. Why? Because we want the rewards in the end. Amen? We don't want to lose our job. We know we have a job to do. How come we have such a hard time serving the Lord, who has done more for us than that employer ever could? I mean, and he can still do more for us, but yet we won't serve him as consistent as we do the person that's paying us here. Don't we understand the reward we're going to get one of these days? Don't we understand that one of these days we'll stand before him and be judged about how, you know, how well we served him? But yet we will be so committed to our employer, and there's nothing wrong with that. You need to be committed to your employer. You need to work hard. You need to have a good testimony for the Lord. That's what we need to do as Christians. But we'll be so committed to our employer, but then we look at God like he's a second-rate citizen. Well, he's not a big deal. That's just God. No, wait a second. We're all going to be standing before the throne one of these days. It is important how well you serve him. In fact, it's more important how you serve him than it is how you serve your employer. It is. Why? That employer can, well, he can fire you. That's true. That's about as far as it goes, though, right? But what about the Lord? The Lord can chasten us. We owe the Lord a whole lot more. We should serve the Lord because we love him. We should be consistent. We could. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not going to mess up from time to time. That is going to mean, like, every morning you're going to wake up and you say, oh, this is great, I get to serve the Lord today. I mean, I hope we do think that way, but we don't always think that way. Amen? Amen? Sometimes we just get up on the wrong side of the bed. Am I the only one who gets up on the wrong side of the bed to where it just seems like everything just makes me irritated, and, you know, and the weather, if it's beautiful outside, I'll say it's too sunny, too bright. If it's raining outside, I'll say, you know what, I need some sunshine here. You know, those days when nothing seems to satisfy us. You know, that's the way we get sometimes. So I'm not going to tell you that every day that you're going to wake up just fired up and ready to serve the Lord, but you know what? You should do it anyway. Why? You get up and you go to work even when you don't want to on Monday, don't you? Amen. That's the reason we just, bottom line is, listen, sometimes it's not going to feel great to serve the Lord. Sometimes you're not going to want to serve the Lord, but you just do it anyway. Why? Because it's the Lord. He's the master. You're the servant. And you do it because you love him. You know, sometimes my wife says, well, you know, I need you to take out the trash, or I need you to do this. And there are sometimes I've got other things going on, and I'd just rather not do it myself. You know, maybe put it off a little bit. But you know what I do? I just go and do it anyway. Why? Because I love her. I don't want to start anything. Amen. I want peace in the house. Amen. So you just go do it. And I'm just going to tell you that you're not always going to feel good about serving the Lord on this side of eternity. You see, you have this flesh. And that flesh just messes with us. And there will be some times that you're going to want to do other things than serve the Lord. And you say, not me, preacher. Don't be so spiritual. Everybody in here at one time or another says, you know what, I could read my Bible, or I could do this over here. And you really wanted to do this over here. Did you do that over there? Don't tell me. Okay. But you know, that's how we get. And so as servants, we are to be consistent. We are to be consistent. Let me ask you this. Do you serve the Lord as much today as you did in the past? And if you don't, why is that? Why is that? Would you agree with me this morning that as Christians we should progress from being a baby Christian where we're first saved and then we start to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, we start to become more mature and more mature and more mature, that we should serve him more as we grow as a Christian than what we did before? You know how many Christians today that can't say that? You know how many Christians are today that say, you know what, I used to serve the Lord a lot, but I don't serve him like that anymore? That's not being a consistent servant. I mean, listen, we should be serving him more and more. How consistent are you in serving the Lord? Do you serve the Lord as much today as you once served him? Good servants are consistent in the way they serve. Another thing that we learn in these passages about good servants is that good servants are faithful in the master's absence. Good servants are faithful in the master's absence. Now, God wants his people to enjoy life. I'm just sold on that. And he wants them to enjoy blessings. He wouldn't give us blessings if he didn't want us to enjoy them. In fact, Paul said this in 1 Timothy 6:17. He said, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Now, that means when the Lord blesses you with something, he gives it so you can enjoy it. Amen? In other words, he's not going to bless you with something and then say, now you don't get to use that. You know, he's not going to do that. God wants us to enjoy the things he gives us. However, any pleasure we seek must be one that God permits. A lot of times we do things that God doesn't permit or that he's not happy with, and we do that. Now, a wicked servant is one who does things that he knows his master will not be pleased with. That's a wicked servant. He does things that, you know, if his master says, I don't like when they do that, a wicked servant's going to do that thing, okay? And because the master is away, the fear that servant once had for his master is no longer there. In other words, how many of you ever heard the saying, when the cat's away, the mice will play? That's the way a lot of people feel today. You know, they know what that Bible says. Christians. Now, I'm talking about Christians here. They know what that Bible says. They know what pleases the Lord and what doesn't please the Lord. And sometimes we'll get to the point to where we look around and we start to think that the Lord isn't here. And we start to think, well, he's not here, and certainly he wouldn't come today. And so then we try to see what we can get away with. You know, kids are the same way. Amen? That's the reason we have to supervise our kids. Let me ask you this. Now, all of us being kids at one time, can you imagine the life it would be if you had no supervision at all when you were young? Can you imagine the things you would have got into if you had absolutely no supervision at all? If mom and dad says, listen, we're going to be gone for 2 weeks, and you kids can have the house, and you can do whatever you want to, and we'll be back in 2 weeks. Now we're trusting you to do the right thing. How do you think that would go when you were a kid? Oh, it'd have started off good. But after a while, you'd have found something to get into that you shouldn't have got into. You'd have done something that you say, you know what, Dad probably wouldn't be real pleased if he knew I did that. How many of you, let me ask you something, and no raise of hands, but just think about this. How many of you have ever done something that your parents wasn't aware of that you did, and if you told them today, they would not be happy? Everybody in this room could say that. Everybody. Let me ask you this. Why did you do it? Because he wasn't there. If he were there, you wouldn't have done it right in front of him, would you? Right? So basically what you did, you said, okay, I'm gonna do this because he's not watching me, and what he doesn't know, it isn't going to hurt him. That's the way we thought. Now, if you're like me, there was a lot of times I thought that was the case, and it wasn't the case. He actually knew what I did. And then I paid for that dearly, okay? But there are things today that I did when I was a kid that I wouldn't dare tell my parents that I did, even to this day. One, it would hurt their feelings. Two, they wouldn't be happy about it. And I honestly wished I hadn't have done it. But I did it because they weren't there. In other words, they weren't watching me at the time. You know, that's how a lot of Christians start to think about the Lord. They start to think, well, you know, he's not here and he's not aware of what we're doing, so we're just going to go do it anyway. I tell you this, there are a lot of Christians in this room today and Christians all across America, including me, that there are things that you've done probably this past week that you would have never done if you could actually see the Lord standing there right beside you. Amen? I mean, if the Lord were actually standing right there and you could see him there, there's no way you would have done that thing. But you didn't see him there. You thought he wasn't there. May I tell you, he's everywhere. He sees everything. There's nothing you do that he is not aware of. But yet we'll live such a life to where we sometimes will do things because we think the Lord isn't there. That's not a faithful servant. You know what a faithful servant does? A faithful servant is going to serve the Lord all the time. The faithful servant is going to say, you know what? Even though my master is not here right now, this is what my master expects me to do. This is what my master likes. This is what he doesn't like. And I'm going to make sure I do the things that he likes. And I'm going to do the things that he tells me to do. And I'm not going to do those things over here that I know displeases him. Because after all, I mean, he's not here, but I'm going to be a faithful servant. Unfortunately, most Christians don't think that way. But that's what it takes to be a faithful servant. Listen, a person that's faithful, a faithful servant is going to do what his master wants him to do all the time, whether his master's there or not. That's what it takes to be a faithful servant. And we need to make sure that we're faithful all the time. In there, Luke chapter 12, verse 45, it says, "But and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maid servants, and eat and drink, be drunken." In other words, the servant here says, my master's not here and he's not coming anytime soon. I'll tell you this, when you start to think that the Lord just won't come at any time soon, you know who that's the devil whispering in your ear. You say, well, you know, people's been talking for 2,000 years the Lord's going to come back. Yeah, that's right. And he could have come back anytime during that 2,000 years and he could come back anytime today. Good servants are faithful in their master's absence. And then the third thing about a faithful servant, and that is a good servant will always bring honor to his master. A good servant will always bring honor to his master. In other words, a servant that is worth something, a servant that is valuable, a servant that is faithful, isn't going to worry so much about his name, because after all, he's just the servant. But he is going to protect the name of his master no matter what. Amen? In other words, when everybody else looks and sees that Bob Crowder is a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, everything that Bob Crowder does should bring glory to the master's name. Everything that I do. Why? Because I'm attaching his name to me. I'm saying I am a Christian, a follower of Christ. I am a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when I say I'm a Christian, and the whole world looks at me and they say, okay, how many of you understand that the world, the second you say you're a Christian, the world has a tendency to look at you awfully close after that. Amen? I mean, they look at you closer than they would the average person. I mean, you could say I'm a Buddhist or I'm a Muslim or whatever, and they're gonna look at you different. But when you say you're a Christian, they're saying, okay, we'll see what kind of Christian you are. I tell you this, I've been to places where I told them I was a Christian. The first thing they did immediately was try to tempt me to do wrong. Yeah. They'd say things like, oh, sir, you're a Christian, huh? I guess you don't believe in going out and partying. See, what they were trying to do is get me to go out and say, well, it's okay. No, what they were doing, they were looking to see, are you the real deal or not? Now, when somebody says, well, I guess you don't believe in going out and partying, at that point, I could fold and give in to what they wanted me to do, but that would bring dishonor upon Christ. For me to say I'm a Christian doesn't mean anything then. Why? Because you know what I've just done? I just told them that Christ really doesn't mean that a whole lot to me. I mean, after all, I only serve him when it's convenient. I only serve him when I want to. That's what I'm saying to them if I give in. But if I say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go out. I'm not going to do these things that I know displeases my master. I'm not going to do it. At that point, they'll say, well, wait a second. Maybe he really is serving the Lord. Maybe Jesus Christ means something to him. Maybe he's protecting that name. I'll tell you one of the things I told my boys, and I've told them many times actually. I tell them, the reason why I'm raising you the way we're raising you is because, you know, for instance, in my house we have a rule, no lying. Obviously you heard that this past Sunday night because my middle son dimed me out when he was preaching, okay? But one of the rules that we have in our house is absolutely no lying. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to get in trouble when you do something. You may or may not. But if you lie, it's a guaranteed thing. Amen? Why? Because I would like for people, when my kids get grown, that when they say something, they don't automatically just assume that they're lying. In other words, I want people to give them the benefit of the doubt. Amen? And not only that, but it's a horrible reputation to have when people hear your name and say, man, you can't trust anything that guy says. That is a horrible reputation to have. I actually met a person one time that, it was so bad. This guy lied so much that any time that he said anything, automatically, in fact, if you even mention his name, people would say, yeah, you got to take everything he says with a dose of salt. In other words, you can't trust anything that comes out of the guy's mouth. And it was so bad that when he would say something, he would say, this is the way it is. Look it up. Now, the second he said, look it up, that was like a big flag to saying, liar. Because what he's trying to do is intimidate you as if he has looked it up and he hasn't. I remember one time he said this. He said, you know, the most dangerous dog in America is the collie. It really isn't a pit bull or whatever other bull. I was like, a collie? I said, like Lassie collie? He goes, yeah, look it up. I was like, okay, I will. Oh, by the way, collie isn't even in the top 25. Amen. I mean, think about this. When you think about Cujo, a ferocious dog, does Lassie come to mind? No. So immediately I'm thinking, okay, this can't be true. What he was doing, he was lying. He said, look it up. You know, the same guy, I mean, everything you've done, he's done more. How many ever met somebody like that? I played football. Oh, you played football? I was too. Best in the state running back. I was like, well, that's pretty good. I said, I like baseball too. Oh, you like baseball? Yeah, I did too. I made it to major leagues. And it seems like everything that you say, this guy's done it more. He was a liar. And my point is this, he had a reputation about that. By the way, this guy also said, I'm a Christian. Now, let me ask you something. Do you think that brings honor upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? The reason I told my kids no lying is because, number one, you're a Crowder, and I don't want the Crowder name to be associated with liars. Amen? Also, the Lord's not happy with it. If you live a life to where you bring dishonor upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're a Christian, and you claim to be a Christian, you're not a good servant. Because a good servant will always protect the name of his master. He always wants his master to be made to look good. He wants to bring honor to him. That's what a faithful servant does. He brings honor to the Lord. Now, King David, a very faithful servant of the Lord, said this. He said, I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. That's what King David said. Peter said this in 1 Peter 4:16. He says, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. That's what we're to do as Christians. We are to glorify God. Let me ask you this. How many of you bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ as your master in the things that you do? Well, the answer is we bring glory to the Lord by being good stewards with what he's entrusted us with. And listen, it's more than just not living a life that brings dishonor to him, but it's also about being good stewards. That's how you honor the Lord, is being good stewards with what he's entrusted you with. In Luke chapter 12, look if you would at verse 42. It says, and the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? In other words, he's saying this. Of all my servants, who are the faithful ones and the good stewards? Because it's those good stewards, or the good servants, that I'm going to reward. As servants, if we're going to honor the Lord, we must be faithful and wise stewards. And may I tell you today that there are many believers that have taken all that the Lord has given them and much more, and rather than being faithful stewards with those things, and using those things to honor and glorify God, they've wrapped those things up in a napkin like we learned last week. Don't you understand that the Lord has given you so much? As Christians, if you're a Christian here today, do you realize what the Lord has given you? I mean, not only did he save your soul, not only did he give you heaven guaranteed as a gift, A gift. He just gave it to you for nothing. Amen? Listen, I'll say it again. He gave it to you for nothing. That means you didn't earn it. All you did, you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, and he goes, listen, you trust my son? Here's everlasting life as a gift. What kind of God can give everlasting life just as a gift? I'm thinking the gift I give to somebody, boy, that's so, I mean, we think about, we sometimes put away money so we can buy a gift for our loved ones, but the Lord, he just gives everlasting life as a gift to those. That's what the Lord gave you. He gave you an opportunity to one day reign with him on this earth. He gave you the Holy Spirit of God within you to guide you and to help you pray and to teach you the Word of God. Look at all the things that he's given you. He gave you talents so you could use those talents for him. Every talent that you have, he gave so you could serve it for him. Why? You're the servant. He's the master. You're supposed to make his name look good. Amen? So he gives you, hey, listen, he's given you the talents to glorify his name. You don't have to do anything there. He's already given you the talents. Amen? It isn't like you have to earn those talents. He gave them to you. He gave you blessings in order that you may glorify him. Listen, he wants the glory, and he's given you everything to glorify him. And if you do not glorify him, then you're not being a faithful and good servant. The master, listen, the bottom line is this, folks. By ourselves, we have nothing. Amen? We have nothing. And the Lord says, you know what? I want to be glorified. I want to be glorified in these Christians. So what I'm going to do is they don't have anything, so I'll just give them everything they need so that they can glorify me. He sure makes it easy, doesn't he? I mean, that would be like, me taking a $100 bill, as if I could ever touch one of those, but if me taking a $100 bill and giving it to my son and say, here, go buy me something nice. Wouldn't that be the same thing? Now, what do we do? We give them and say, we say, go buy yourself something nice. But, you know, my kids, I mean, of course, Blake now, he's working. He's got a job. He's getting a little bit of money now. But like Caleb, I mean, once his money's gone, he doesn't have anything else because he hasn't got a job yet. Or Emma, she doesn't have anything other than what we provide her, right? So if I walked up to Emma today and say, here's $100 bill, honey, why don't you go out and buy me something nice with that? She would say, well, Dad, how about me? Well, can I buy me something nice? Well, listen, you know what the Lord's doing? The Lord's saying, listen, you don't have anything by yourself, so I'm going to give you everything you need just to glorify me. Now, the scary thing about that is this. One of these days, you're going to be held accountable for what you did with what the Lord gave you. One of these days, you're going to be held accountable for what kind of steward you were with what the Lord gave you. And folks, everybody in this room has a talent. Everybody in this room has blessings. Everybody in this room has been blessed with something. You say, I don't have a dime to my name. Yes, but you've been blessed. Why? Well, because you walked into church today and you can breathe and you still got all four of your limbs and you don't, you know, you're not in the hospital with pneumonia and you don't have terminal illness. Just when you think that you aren't blessed, go visit the hospital and nursing homes with me during the week. And I'll show you just how blessed you really are. The Lord's given you these blessings. He's given you time, hasn't he? He's given you breath, hasn't he? He's allowed you to live in a country where you have freedoms to come to church, hasn't he? What are you doing with those things? You realize you have a freedom right now to walk in this town, walk right up to somebody and start witnessing to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a gift, folks. You say, that's a right. You are blessed to live in a country where you have that right, where you have that freedom to do that. But you know what a lot of Christians do? They just take that thing, that right, and that privilege, that freedom we have, and just toss it aside like it isn't anything. You'll be held accountable what you did with that. How many of you are thankful that you have a car today? Or a way of transportation? I mean, can you imagine if it was back in the days of Paul that everywhere you went, you just walked? Walking to church. Some people live, think about Walt and Myra. If they didn't have a vehicle and they wanted to come to church in the morning, they probably would have had to leave about, day before yesterday to walk here. Amen? Camping out on the way of the whole works. Going to get kind of tough in the wintertime too, huh? You think the Lord blessed us by allowing us to have transportation? Let me ask you this. This is something I think about often, folks. Sometimes we think we're going to do really good when we get to that judgment seat of Christ. We think, boy, I am a spiritual Christian. I serve the Lord. I am faithful. Mm-hmm. You realize that Paul, everywhere he went, he walked. He didn't have a Subaru. Amen? He couldn't get on a plane. He had to get on a ship. And while he's on the ship, he went through more than one shipwreck. I mean, he was near death many times. Three missionary journeys. And everywhere he went, he beat feet. Look how many people he won to the Lord. Look how many people he witnessed to. Now, let me ask you something. You have a vehicle. Oh, by the way, where Paul was at, people persecuted Christians daily. You have a vehicle you can drive around in and stay warm. Get out of your vehicle, run to the door real quick, put a tack on there, and run back to your car. Not Paul. Paul was like putting the blanket over his head and walked there. Some people, Jews wanted to kill him. Other people wanted to kill him. The Romans wanted to kill him. He goes over here and he's witnessing to people. And he won a lot of people, Lord. He witnessed to a lot of people. Amen? How many of you witnessed to? With the advantage and the blessings that God has given you. Don't you understand that a faithful servant is going to serve the Lord with what the Lord has given him? He's going to be a good steward with what the Lord has given him. The Lord has given you freedoms. The Lord has given you transportation. The Lord has given you good health. The Lord has given you time. What are you doing with all that? And then we sit there and think about ourselves as being really faithful servants. All of us could be more faithful. There isn't a person in this room that couldn't be more faithful this morning. And I'll tell you something. One of these days when we're standing there before the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to be standing next to those people like Paul and some of those people that are in that list of that Fox's Book of Martyrs. And you're going to be standing right next to them. I tell you this, I hope when I get up there, I hope they're not the one in line right behind me or right in front of me. I don't know if we're all going to be standing in line walking toward the end of the judgment seat of Christ or not. I don't know how it's going to be. But I tell you this, I sure hope that Paul isn't standing beside me. Amen. We've got a long ways to go to be faithful servants. The Lord has given each of us time on this earth and other things, and we need to use it wisely. That's the reason 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. God has graciously given us many things, and he's entrusted us with many things. Time, our talents, everything that you do, everything that you're capable of doing, the Lord has made it possible for you to serve him and by giving you the things you need to serve him. Listen to what John says in John 15:11. It says, these things have I spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and your joy might be full. Not only has God entrusted us with time and talents, but he's also entrusted us with joy. Do you realize that it's the Lord who gave you his joy? It's his joy. And you're supposed to use that joy to glorify him. And you know, what we do is we let others see the joy that's in us so that they'll see something that they don't have. That's why Peter said this. He said in 1 Peter 3:15, it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Here's what he just said. That when you're walking around with hope, this world's going to see it. And they're going to say, how come you have so much hope? And I don't. And it says you need to be ready to give an answer. And what's that answer going to be? Because I've received Jesus Christ as my Savior. Amen? Here's the problem. Christians today walking around like this. How are you doing today? Oh, horrible. Today it's just horrible. In fact, my life's just horrible. It's the worst thing ever. Now let me ask you something. Is the world going to walk up to you and say, hey, tell me the reason for the hope that's in you? No. Listen, the Lord gave us joy so that we, listen, you know right now if you're saved that you're just a heartbeat away from going to heaven. Amen? So would it make sense that it's a little bit easier for you to handle tough times on this earth. A little bit easier for you to handle the imminent day of death coming your way than it is for an unsaved person? I mean, does it make sense? I mean, if you believe your Bible, you've been saved, the Lord's given you His joy, you should be able to, when things go bad, you should be able to smile and say, well, the Lord take care of it. Whenever you go through tough times, or you, let's say something medical comes up, you should be able to say, well, you know, some people think it's bad, but you know, the Lord's got a reason for it. I'll tell you this, I've told you before, when I was in Oklahoma, I used to go visit this lady in the nursing home, and she had been in bed for over 10 years, bedridden for 10 years. And I have never met a more joyful Christian in my entire life. 92 years old, been bedridden for 10 years. She hasn't even, not one time has she gotten up out of that bed. They have to roll her over every day to keep the bed sores from getting worse and worse. And you walk in, and I say, how you doing? Oh, much better than I expected, what I deserve, Pastor. Oh, the Lord is so good. And you know what? I'm thinking to myself, how many people, lost people, come and talk to this lady and see that just how great God is? That's called being a faithful servant. That's somebody who makes her Lord look good. Amen? That no matter how bad she may be suffering, it's all about glorifying Him. Do you know how many people probably come to her and say, Sister, how in the world could you possibly be so happy and be in this bed for 10 years? What is the reason for the hope that you have today? And that's when she witnessed to him. And I'll tell you this, she probably witnessed to more people from that bed than most Christians I know today who go door to door. That's a fact. Being faithful Christians. There's a lot to be faithful Christians. Amen? A lot to it. We need to make sure that we make much about the Lord, bring honor to His name, that we're faithful, that we're consistent, that we are good stewards of what He's given us with. That's what's all involved about being a faithful servant. And if you will do those things, then one of these days you'll hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But if you're one of those servants, like a lot of Christians are today, who thinks, well, you know what, the Lord isn't here, and I can do whatever I want to today. Or I'll tell you what, I'll serve the Lord on Sunday, but the rest of the week, my time. That's not being a faithful servant at all. A faithful servant serves the Lord every day, consistently, as if He were coming at any moment to make His name look good. That's what a faithful servant does. How faithful are you being this morning?